Well, we've been talking about full circle. This is well into the message on full circle. Full circle meaning where God intended up for us to be. We kind of got lost on our way, and now He wants us to go back. Well, we've been talking about full circle. This is well into the message on full circle. Full circle meaning where God intended up for us to be. We kind of got lost on our way, and now He wants us to go back. His intent wasn't for you to die and go to heaven. His intent was for you to walk with Him in the earth, in dominion over the earth, right? That's full circle. Don't stop halfway and say, that's good enough for me. That's my religion. I'm going to go there. You know, you got to go all the way. Say, go all the way.
All the way.
A lot of people don't want to go all the way. And like half committed. Well, the farther you go, the more you see the way it is. Lots of times you don't see the full story until you get into it. And that's kind of where we are today in the church. A lot of people are willing to go so far, but no further, because they don't see. And sometimes you got to go far enough before you can see farther, right? If you're going on a hike and you don't see the next mountain until you get up on top of the first mountain. You know, hiker language here. Anyway, so here it says, we got these words, the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Who is the lamb slain from the foundation of the world? That would be Jesus, slain from the foundation. So he was, as if he was slain from when? The foundation, from the beginning, from even before the beginning. And if, well, let's just look over there. You guys are fast Bible turners, right? Sometimes I think, okay, well, if we're gonna turn to all these chapters in the Bible, First Peter, but like I said, I want you to see that this is out of your Bible. Say, my Bible.
My Bible.
Woo! Why? So that you can see it, so you can own it. It's not just me. I'm seeing it and I'm owning it, but you know, you need to own it because you're going there. So here we what did I say? First Peter chapter 1. Excited about this. Verse 19. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 19, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a what? A lamb without blemish or spot, who verily, verse 20, who verily was foreordained. Say, foreordained.
Foreordained,
foreordained before the foundation of the world. Where, when would that be? Long time ago, right? So the lamb slain was to redeem people from something that hasn't even happened yet, right? Was he redeemed? Was he slain in order to redeem you from the curse of the law? Yes, but was that it? No, because there was no law yet. He was slain for something that was way before the law. My point here is that the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ and his blood, the lamb slain before the foundation of the world, was to take care of. Say, take care of.
Take care of
everything that Adam messed up. It wasn't just to fulfill the law. That came afterwards. Are you seeing this?
Yes.
So Jesus, his sacrifice, his redemption, our redemption, it pays for everything that Adam messed up. Plus some. What would it plus some? As I like to say this, redemption plus.
Redemption plus.
Yeah, redemption plus, because he redeemed us from everything that Adam messed up, plus he redeemed us from everything that we could possibly mess up in the future.
Praise God.
That was the problem with Adam. That's why Jesus had to come in the first place. Adam's gonna mess up. Especially Eve. Watch out for her. Adam and Eve, right? They messed up. But they were at the beginning, so we have to go full circle back to the beginning. But God, through his infinite wisdom, paid the price, the ultimate price, the forever price. Amen. So we can't even mess up again. If we did, it'd be taken care of. Are you here?
Yeah,
my point is that the second Adam came to redeem us from everything that the first Adam messed up. So here we have the full circle, or the cycle of redemption. Redemption plus. Are you getting all of this?
Yeah.
Removes all the first Adam caused. What were some of the things that all the first Adam caused?
Yes.
Well, sin, first of all, yeah, right? And then through sin came sickness, poverty, all the curse of the law, right? And death. Is it possible that Jesus paid the price to redeem us from death?
Yes. Yeah, spiritual death.
No, it wasn't just spiritual death. Adam and Eve physically died. You remember that?
Right.
So if he did, lamb before the foundation, if he came to pay for the complete price, that's why I took you to those scriptures. Are you getting this?
Yes.
All right. Removes all, plus eternal redemption. Say eternal redemption.
Eternal.
That's
redemption.
The plus. Redemption plus.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So go to Hebrews. Try to catch us up to where we are in this series. Ooh, Hebrews chapter 10. You don't mind if I go fast?
Nope.
Hebrews chapter 10, verse 2. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? Let's read verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never by those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. See, once again, he's talking about perfect. Sacrifices couldn't make you perfect. Right? So he's going to start talking about a sacrifice that can make you perfect. Were Adam and Eve perfect?
Yes, before.
Sure, until they, you know.
Until.
Verse 2. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 2. For then would they not have ceased to be offered the sacrifices, because that the worshipers, say worshipers.
Worshipers.
And this is a key here, and I've been pointing this out in several of the messages. The worshipers once purged. So there's a purging. I hope you're listening. There's a purging that goes on through worship. Right? The worshipers once purged should have no more what? Conscience of sins. And it's through worshiping the Holy Ghost, who's God in the earth today, that he purges your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. He purges your conscience from sin. Sin consciousness. Right? So you're no longer a sinner. You, yeah, sure, you sinned in the past, but that's not who you are now. Now you're a worshiper of the living God, the Holy Ghost, right? Let's go down to verse 12. But this man, talking about Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever. Say, one sacrifice,
for sins forever.
Now, who would that be? That would be the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. That was the sacrifice to redeem everybody from everything forever. Pretty good sacrifice.
Glory.
That's the one you want. You don't want the partial ones. Right?
Right.
Verse 13, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. Where's Jesus now? In heaven at the right hand of the Father, and he's waiting for his enemies to be made his footstool. What's the last enemy?
Death
is the last enemy, will be put under his feet, his footstool. Verse 14, for by one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. Say, are sanctified. Now, sanctification is a process, and it comes through the Holy Ghost, worshiping the Holy Ghost and following the Holy Ghost. Is this too much? I know this is all review, but wait till we get to the other stuff. Verse 15, whereof the Holy Ghost is a witness. What's he witnessing? The sanctification. He's witnessing that the worshipers and your conscience is being cleansed from sin consciousness. Are you here? I covered all this in previous messages. For after that, he said before, verse 16, this is the covenant that I will make after those days. After what days? After the sacrifice was made. I, the Holy Ghost, will make this covenant after those days, saith the Lord. The Lord who? Had to be the Holy Ghost. Does your Bible call the Holy Ghost Lord? Yeah, time. Now the Lord is that Spirit, right? I will put my law. So after those days, after they've received the sacrifice, the Holy Ghost comes right afterwards, and he puts his laws. Now, his laws.
His laws.
Well, is it one of his laws? The lack of consciousness of sin. Yeah. His laws into their hearts and into their minds, I will write them. Who writes them? The Holy Ghost. Who? Because the worshipers once purged. So it's through worshiping the Holy Ghost. Remember, I've connected all these dots before. It's through worshiping the Holy Ghost. What if I don't worship the Holy Ghost? You can't get there. You can't get there from here. They say that in Maine. I want to get to Lymington. Well, you can't get there from here. You have to go there first. Right? And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. So guess where we are when we worship the Holy Ghost? We have our sin consciousness being wiped away. We're being sanctified. It's being renewed. How? Through the worshipers once purged. Worshiping who? Who should you be worshiping? The Holy Ghost, who's God in the earth today. Amen. I got news for you, Bubba. There's no other God in the earth. His name is the Holy Ghost. I just felt like I wanted to say that. No offense to anyone named Bubba. I'm just talking to you. Oh. All right. One offering forever. Do you see that? So there is a law. He's going to write his law. Say his law.
His law.
Now, is there a law of faith? Yes. Is there a law of love? Jesus commanded us the law of love, right? Is there a law of sin consciousness? A law of no sin consciousness? We should come up with a shorter name for that, because it's not easy to say. But it's a law. And within the law of sin, no sin consciousness, then there are things that can happen that other things can't happen until you get there. Are you getting there? All right. So how are you going to get there?
Worship.
By worshiping the Holy Ghost. He does something to you. He begins to write that on you. And then you have other people go, ah, you can't go there. Well, you got to worship the Holy Ghost. And when you do, he begins to, you know, de-Rubik's Cube you or whatever. You understand? Mm-hmm. We're going to get a little more into that today. But worship plays a huge part. We've been playing around with the redemption for these last 2,000 years. At some point, somebody's got to say, okay, that's enough. Playing around with it, either this says what it says. Jesus tasted death for every man. I wasn't going to go into this, and I'm probably not going to. I might have to do it later. But people will say, because it's a big topic and it's a question, a specific question that people ask. Well, the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die and after that, judgment, right? You ever thought of that? So we all have to die, and you're saying that you don't have to die, that you can step over into eternal life. Jesus tasted death for every man. See, and that's the problem. They're trying to cut his redemption off before it really fulfilled what it was supposed to fulfill. Because Jesus paid for Adam and Eve dying for the result of sin. Are you here? But the word says he tasted death for every man. That will be the subject of a different message. But anyway, we've been playing around with redemption. But the Holy Ghost is the key to the full circle. Worshiping the Holy Ghost, fully receiving the Holy Ghost, puts you back full circle. You're walking with God in the earth today, right? Fully receiving Him. And when I say fully receiving Him, do I mean receiving Him just as a gift? Just receiving Him as tongues? Have you received the gift of tongues? I understand about the gift of tongues. But you have to receive the Holy Ghost in His dispensation and worship Him as God. That's fully receiving Him. Are you there? Now we're ready for this week's message. Go. See, we got through that. We got a good foundation going here. Go to Genesis. See? It said the end from the beginning from the end, the first shall be last, the last shall be first. A lot of these things that we've all heard all of our lives, all of a sudden they make a lot more sense now. Right? Even eternal life, the literal meaning of the word is the life that was from the beginning. And it goes forever. So we got the beginning and the end meeting up again. Wouldn't that be interesting? In our day, the last day, the last of the last days, that the end meets up with the beginning, huh? And here's this message: we're going full circle back to where we were supposed to be. So let's go back to the beginning. Genesis chapter 3, this is where they got, you know, Adam and Eve sinned and they got kicked out, and they knew they were naked, and God said, who told you you were naked? See, what, you know, he didn't go, hey, you guys are naked. He said, who told you you were naked? Which means the emphasis was on the consciousness of being naked. That was the problem. Consciousness of sins, we got to get rid of that. Are you here? Let's go to verse. Ew. There's so much good stuff in here. Genesis chapter 3, verse 19. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread. That's disgusting. Thou till thou return unto the ground out of which thou out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and dust shalt thou return. When did all of this happen? After he sinned, they be right sin, and then they died. Verse 20, and Adam called his wife's name, where am I? No, I'm reading the wrong thing here. Verse 23, therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. Goodness. Oh, goodness. That had to be a bad day. You thought you had a bad day. Verse 24, and so he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims. What are cherubims? Angels. And a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Now my question is, why would God put something here if he didn't want us to find it? Why would he put it there? Because so he'd remember, I forgot how to get back in. No, this is the gate, this is the doorway to Eden. If you want to get back in there, you got to go through this door. Say, I got to go through this door. So there's a door. Doesn't that make sense? Yeah. He put an angel there. Now I'm just gonna kind of go through this verse because I want you to understand what this is. You know, a lot of times people be, oh man, I don't know what it is, I don't know what it is. And well, you know, I'm gonna tell you what it is so that you can go through it. No, God, why would God put a door there if he didn't want you to go through it? Why would he put markers there and signposts and a flaming sword that directs the place where it is and how to go back through it if he didn't want you to go there? Right? Because God's mean and he just wants to taunt us with it. The big keep out sign. It wasn't a keep out sign. It was a signpost on how to get back. Now people didn't get it right then because they didn't understand what was going on. So he drove out the man, verse 24, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubim. Now you can hold your place there if you want. And in Acts chapter 7, I'm going to talk about the angels, the cherubim right now, how they were directing things to get back, right? The angels are there to help you get back through the door. Acts chapter 7 and verse 53, who has received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept. Well, let's read up here. Look at verse 51. Acts chapter 7 verse 51, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do you. Who are they resisting? The Holy Ghost. You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart. Verse 52, which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted, and they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the just one, of whom you have been now the betrayers and murderers. Man, this is a rough message. I love it. 53, who have received the law, say the law, by the disposition of angels. Well, how did the law get in here? That other word could be instrumentality. How do we get that? through the instrument, according to this verse 53, the instrumentality of angels. So here we have angels pointing the way back, and this is the only part where angels were in operation, you understand, right? I'm just trying to show you that this is part of what was prophesied way at the beginning, that God put cherubim there to guide the way back to the tree of life. All right, I guess we'll stop on that. Now, did you hold your place there? Verse 24 again. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims, angels. Now angels, he placed them there so that they could direct the way back. They the way back. And angels have been doing that. That was my point of showing you that. And he placed cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way. A flaming sword, woo, like a two-edged sword, but you know, a flaming sword is, well, no wonder they thought God was trying to keep him out. I'm not going through there. I got to go through that door with an angel, big angel, and a flaming sword. Yeah, that's the way. Keeps the wrong people out, but lets the right people in. So let's look at these words, flaming and sword, Ephesians chapter 6. And so the whole point of this message here this morning is to show you what this door is, and to prove to you from the scriptures that this door is something that we can have knowledge of and go through it, right? Amen. Flaming sword, Ephesians chapter 6. I mean, so if God's intent is for us to go back through that door, what's on the other side of the door? Eden. Wouldn't it be good to know what the door was so we could go through it? Well, we wish. It still seems kind of scary. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the what? Sword of the Spirit. So he put a flaming, say flaming, sword, played a flaming sword. And here it says the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So what's the sword? You knew this, right? This word is a two-edged sword, dividing asunder between spirit and soul, right? This isn't the only reference, but the word, the sword is the word, right? The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word, say the Word, the Word of God, the spoken Word of God. So a sword that's there would be spoken words. Do you understand this? So he's saying the sword that's guarding this with the angel is spoken words. You got to go through the door with spoken, you know, this should be no giant revelation, because how much of the Bible is based on spoken words? So you got to say certain words to get through the door, and it's not abracadabra. Spoken words, right? Let's just read on. Maybe he'll give us a little indication. Go like this. Indication of what those spoken words might be. Like, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. What is praying in the Spirit? Speaking with other tongues. Well, we're in the dispensation of the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost came on the day of Pentecost, and he came what? As a rushing mighty wind, and he sat on each of them, tongues of fire, right? Flaming sword, and they began to speak words, speaking in other tongues. I'm telling you, it's the door to Eden. The doorway to Eden is through speaking in other tongues, which is the evidence of receiving the Holy Ghost. It's not just the speaking in tongues, it's the receiving, fully receiving the Holy Ghost as God in the earth today and worshiping him. I'm showing you the doorway to Eden. I don't like this doorway, I want a different one. Well, you're not gonna get one. How can you say that, you know, that, because I'm telling you, When you start going through the door, you understand what's on the other side. You see through it. You know, those, I'm going to use this reference a couple times, but like at the airport, you go, it's one of those revolving doors. You start to go through, you can see inside because they're glass, and you get in there and you can see even closer inside. And if you don't get off at the right time, you're stuck there. Or if you get behind somebody with a lot of baggage, sometimes their baggage gets stuck there. Are you here? Are you getting any of this? So we got the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying in the Spirit. Now, when we pray in the Spirit, what are we saying? His words. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying in the Spirit. The flaming sword is there. It's the doorway to Eden. Are you here? Okay. If you don't believe me yet, go to James chapter 3. Let's just read this whole thing. Let's go right from verse 1. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all, but if any man offend not in word, the same is a what? Perfect man. We've been talking about that. Perfect man, able to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we and turn about their whole body. Behold, also ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Try saying that a lot. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth, and the tongue is a fire. Are you here? So he placed in the garden what? A flaming sword. The sword is the Word of God praying in the Spirit. We're speaking his, and we're using our tongue, which is a flame of fire, right? Are you here?
Yes.
And what does he say it does? It directs the body. He directs you back. Why did he put the sword there? Why did he put the angel there? To direct you back in to what we came out of. Are you seeing this? When you pray in tongues a lot, say pray in tongues a lot. He begins to direct your life from a different place than you're being directed. Right? So you're being directed by the fire that's in your mouth, by your tongue, and he's directing you back. Are you getting any of this? The tongue is a fire directing everybody. And how does it seem many times? I'm praying this way, then I'm praying that way. I'm praying this way, I'm praying. It seems like it's turning every which way. Isn't it? Praying about this, praying about that. Praying for you 1 minute, praying for you the next minute. Praying for myself many minutes after that. Right? It's turning every which way. I don't like this door of Eden. This is the doorway. You want to go through it, you got to go through it. So let's go to if you don't believe me yet, let's go to Acts chapter 2 verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one place with one accord, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them what? Verse 3. Cloven tongues like as of fire, and sat upon each of them. He put at the entrance of the Garden of Eden a flaming sword. Cherubim, angels that directed the way, brought in the new covenant, right? Yes. Then a flaming sword. Here it says, when the Holy Ghost came, he came as a sound of a rushing mighty wind, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and sat on each of them. And what? They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They began. Are you getting any of this? He placed a flaming sword. Here he's calling the Holy Ghost a fire that sat on each of them, right? And their tongue, they began to speak the word, which was the Word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit praying. Are you getting this? All right, let's look down a little farther. Verse 12, and they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? And others mockingly said, these men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted his voice and said unto them, you men of Judea and all you that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known to you and hearken to my words, for these are not drunk as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day, but this, say this, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. It will come to pass in the last days, I'll pour out my spirit. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. What is this flaming fire? And then they became to speak as the Spirit gave them utterance. It's the prophet Joel, right? Yes. Well, let's quickly go to, see, I told you I'm going to have you look up stuff. Let's look this up in prophet Joel. Joel chapter 2 verse 3, a fire devours before them. This is the book of Joel. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. They received what Joel had prophesied way before. Mm-hmm. When the fire appeared upon each of them and they began to speak as he gave them utterance. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. A fire, verse 3, Joel chapter 2, verse 3, a fire devours before them, and behind them a flame burns. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them. And behind them a desolate wilderness. Who's this talking about? The people that received the Holy Ghost as a fire and began to speak with other tongues as he gave them utterance. Are you seeing any of this? What did John say? John the Baptist say about Jesus? He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire, a flaming sword directing the way back into Eden. Are you getting this? What is it like? Oh, this is like, this is those guys like Joel prophesied. That's what Peter said in modern day language. Hey, this is like what Joel said. What did he say? He said, a fire devours before them, behind them a flame burns. The land is as a Garden of Eden before who? Before them, the people that receive the Holy Ghost. Say receive. Receive the Holy Ghost. Now, can you receive the Holy Ghost just a little bit? And this is the problem with most Christians, is they got their Christianity and they like it that way and don't mess with it. And then they'll receive the Holy Ghost a little bit. Did you receive tongues? Did you receive tongues? It used to bug me when I'd heard people say that. People don't say it to me too much anymore. Did you receive tongues? Well, okay, I get it, so you speak with other tongues, but that's not the point. The tongues is the evidence of receiving the Holy Ghost, and most people don't receive the Holy Ghost fully. Say fully. And fully because they don't worship him as God in the earth today. Remember, it goes right back full circle again. You worship the Holy Ghost, he removes the sin consciousness, right? We're in this door now. And most people, yeah, they'll pray in tongues a little bit, but all they're doing is going around the same circular rotary door. What do they call those? Revolving doors. Thank you. And they revolve around. They revolve around. And they're going around and around. They never get off because they don't add the other component of worshiping the Holy Ghost. Are you here? Oh, goodness. All right, so we read that. You see that? This is that which was spoken. What is before them? The Garden of Eden's before who? The people that received the Holy Ghost that Peter was talking about in that day. Now, if you don't believe that, one more, and then we'll move on. Proverbs. Proverbs is easy to find. Proverbs chapter 15. Verse 4. A wholesome tongue is what? A tree of life. So this is directing, the flaming sword is directing the way back to the tree of life, and going through the door involves saying words. If you don't believe that, I mean, there's a verse of scripture. It's guarding the way to the tree of life. All right, I hope I'm getting this across. The point of this message is to show you that we have a door, and to prove it from the scriptures. I hope I've proven it enough. I could buttress these up with many other scriptures, you understand, but for the sake of time, I'm trying to show you that the door is receiving the Holy Ghost and beginning to speak his words. But the receiving the Holy Ghost is where a lot of people have missed it, because they don't fully receive the Holy Ghost, therefore they're only getting certain parts of it. Do you know that 1 in 4 Christians has received the gift of speaking in other tongues? Over the whole earth, 1 in 4. But do they worship the Holy Ghost? Very few. So they're only receiving partially. I have some more to say about that in a little bit. All right? But are you getting this? Flaming sword. Now, as you go through this door, it reminds me of a, what was that, Indiana Jones movie. Remember Indiana Jones? Yeah. He had to go in this cave, and then people go in there and they get their heads lopped off. And then there was some kind of mysterious writing on the wall that said, oh, you got to be humble, only the humble will survive. And he goes, oh, humble, I think I'll kneel down. He knelt down, and when the sword came by, it chopped off the other guy's head, but didn't chop his off because he was kneeling down. So you didn't think I could reference that. Right? But the doorway will chop up certain things, and it will let through others. Right? And it's a flaming sword. And believe me, when you start to worship the Holy Ghost and you pray in other tongues, what happens? It's a two-edged sword. It will chop things off of you. It'll decimate your goofy doctrines. And if you don't let it, then it's gonna hurt more. Because what? You're gonna go around again. You see this? Yeah, so I'm praying in tongues. What happens? You pray in tongues, you begin to change. You're changed from one glory to the next. Right? You're being changed so that you can go through that door and enter into where you're supposed to be. Well, one of the goofy doctrines is you can never get there. Well, why God put the door there then? Right?
We can never get there.
Well, you never will. You're right. You can never get there. But when you get in that door, and you start going through it, praying in the Spirit, worshiping the Holy Ghost, praying in the Spirit, worshiping the Holy Ghost, that things change, sin consciousness gets removed, and guess what happens? You start to step over on the other side. You can go into the Spirit and come out. Go into the Spirit, and I'll talk about that, not this week, but maybe next week. That's what Enoch was doing. Go into the Spirit and come out. Into the Spirit and come out. And eventually he goes into the Spirit and doesn't come out. And people want, where'd he go? Are you here? All right, the key to Edenic transformation and the door to Eden is speaking in other tongues, fully receiving the Holy Ghost, which means you have to worship him. And remember, I've said this time and time again, that the Holy Ghost will do things for people that worship him that he won't do for anybody else. I don't like that message. Well, tough, that's the truth. Which means he does things for people that worship him he won't do for anybody else. Guarantee you, if you start worshiping, the Holy Ghost is going to start taking your doctrine and twisting it. Why would that be? Because first of all, your doctrine probably says you shouldn't worship the Holy Ghost. What kind of a stupid, goofy, ridiculous doctrine is that? The Holy Ghost is God in the earth today, and your doctrine says you're not supposed to worship God? What is wrong with you? Right? You're never going to get through that door. Yeah, but I speak in tongues. Yeah, once in the 60s when everybody else received too. Gobbledygook, and that was it. No, they began, which means they kept going. You got to keep going. And the more you go, how you get changed, don't you? Amen. The more you pray, the more you get changed. That's right. I call this Edenic or Edenic transformation. Where do you get changed? In that doorway, from glory to glory. Now, I find that this is funny. You know, we're supposed to receive the Holy Ghost, right? And we're changed from glory to glory, right? Well, at the beginning, there was glory. And then we're going back to glory. Are you getting this? The Holy Ghost has things that he won't reveal to people who don't worship him. Which means he reveals things to people that do worship him that he won't reveal to anybody else, even if they are speaking in tongues. I knew a lot of people that spoke in tongues much as I did, but they never worshiped the Holy Ghost, and therefore they're still stuck there. What'd you do if you go in and they never get off? They go into that big revolving thing and they just keep bumping into the door, because their doctrine keeps them going around in a circle. We can never get there. You can never get there. Some partially, this is the Holy Ghost said this to me, some partially receive me and I partially bless them. Right? You can receive parts of the word, God will bless you as far as you can go with that word. Right? Some people receive healing, don't receive prosperity. God blesses them with healing and they die poor. Right? So some partially receive me, the Holy Ghost is saying this, I partially bless them. If you don't worship the Holy Ghost, you didn't fully receive him as God in the earth. You didn't fully enter into the new dispensation. You can't be fully led by him. You're led by some doctrine stuff, and then he can lead you as much as he can, but it's, you're tethered, you can't go very far. You getting this? Some fully receive me, some partially receive me, I partially bless them. Some fully receive me. New dispensation, Holy Ghost is God in the earth today, and they worship him. What is he able to do if they fully receive him? He's able to fully bless them, which means they can go full circle, right? So if you receive tongues, is that a blessing? Of course it is. I'm not saying that praying tongues is a blessing, but that doesn't mean you fully received the Holy Ghost and worship him, right? Is that a blessing, fully receiving the Holy Ghost, praying in tongues and worshiping him? You can receive things that you can't receive. Remember, he begins to sanctify you. He begins to write his laws, not your goofy ones, on your heart and your mind. His laws being sin consciousnessness. How about fully praying in tongues? What do you mean fully praying in tongues? Have you ever run to the end of the trail where your tongue just stopped because you prayed them all out? It's kind of hard. It takes a while. Do most people do that? Do most people even fully receive and fully pray with the language that they've been given? No. They'll give it some lip service. Most Christians, especially the ones, you talk about 1 in 4 Christians. Every fourth Christian. What's wrong with that? Why isn't it every Christian? 1 in 4 Christians, they'll speak in tongues, but I guarantee you, they're not speaking in tongues enough. They might only have done it once, and they would still say they did. Just like once saved, always saved. Once tongued, always tongued. Have you been tongued? No, it's not once. No, once they began. Are you here? They began to speak with other tongues as he gave them utterance. They began to enter through that door.
If the door's just one.
No, it's a big door, and it takes a long time to get through it because you've got to be changed. I was thinking about this, and I'll get more into this when we talk about Enoch. But you're going to be the same person, you, that walks over on the other side. People think when they get to heaven, they're just going to be, I'm going to be heavenly. I'm going to be different. I'm going to think the same way. No, it's still going to be you. You're going to have to go through a transformation. But everybody wants to put it off until I die. No, you can be transformed now. Good, acceptable, perfect will of God. Through spiritual worship, you're transformed into that person. So get used to it. I was kind of hoping you'd go away. Well, I'm not going away, and you're going with me, and we're just going to be changed. Right?
Yes.
Well, I want to be different. You will be different. But you can be different tomorrow. You can be different today. Right? You can think different right now. Your body can be renewed now. It's different. If somebody gets healed, are they different? Yeah, they were sick. Now they're healed. What happened? They got changed. So we walk through this now. Are you getting this? From glory to glory. All right, we're getting there. Hey, you still okay with me turning to a couple scriptures? 1 Corinthians. So lots of times I could just quote these things, but I think it's important for you to see them so that you can see them from your Bible, so that you can be established in them and you know where you're going. Not just what I said is, oh, hey, right here, the roadmap, directing the way back. When I'm praying in tongues, you get a brand new Bible. You're worshiping the Holy Ghost, you get a brand new Bible, and you see things the way nobody saw it before. At least nobody in your church thinks about it this way. But you got to be willing to go somewhere nobody else went. If you're going to go somewhere, did they go into Eden? No. Well, then what are you following them for? You want to go in where somebody else didn't go, right? Are you here? I'm trying. Yeah, I want to say 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Oh my. Let's look at verse 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 6, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of the world that come to naught. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained, what? Before the world. We're speaking something that God ordained before the world unto our glory. Are you seeing this? This didn't just happen because of the law. It didn't happen because Jesus fulfilled the law. It's happening because Jesus was sent as a lamb slain from the foundation of the world, before the foundation of the world, to fully redeem us. Are you getting any of this? We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Let's read down verse 12. And I'm not skipping over this thing to avoid stuff. I'm skipping over it because it takes too much time to get into it all, right? Verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. What things? The things that were from the foundation, because we're speaking, which he goes on to say, which things also we speak. So if you want to know the things, you have to fully speak the things. How are you going to get through that door? Through fully speaking the things, right? I'm praying about a situation or something. Sometimes I have to fully speak the thing. Why is that? Because we walk with God, the Holy Ghost, by speaking things. That's how we walk with Him. Are you getting this? I know, you know, sometimes, you know, it gets too long, but I'm really trying to help you out here. Right? So how are we going to know the things? We have to fully speak the things. Right? We're speaking the wisdom of God, a mystery, hidden wisdom from the foundation of the world. We're going back. We're fully speaking the things. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 17 says, now the Lord is that spirit. Where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. We all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the spirit of the Lord. So all this is happening. We're being changed. We're being transformed. Yes. Speaking. Remember the door. He put an angel there and a flaming sword that cuts all different ways. You'll get cut all different ways when you speak in other tongues and you worship the Holy Ghost. That's the door. Where's it going into? The land is as the Garden of Eden before them. Behind them, a desolate wilderness, meaning, man, it's who cares about it? You leave the wilderness and you come into Eden. Right? But you're being transformed from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Are you getting this?
Yes.
All right. We're almost done. Which is full circle, from glory to glory. Full circle. Right? Now, this is a marathon. It's not a sprint. Right? It's a marathon. So let's go to Galatians. Almost done. Galatians. We're sowing to the Spirit and we're reaping from the Spirit. It's a marathon. Now, think about an average marathon is what? 26.2 miles, right? That's a long ways to run. This is a marathon. And you think, how long does that take? The average time, I looked this stuff up, the average time is 4 hours and 21 minutes of running. That's the average time. Obviously people are slower, people are faster. You're not gonna win with that time, but so here we're talking about a marathon. You know, the Bible does say it, talk about this being a race, and we're running a race. It's a marathon. Think about praying in the Spirit and worshiping the Holy Ghost for 4 hours and 21 minutes average time.
I'll never do that.
What if you did do that? Would you be changed? Would you go from one glory to the next glory? Would you begin to go through that door?
That's a long time to be on one of them revolving doors.
You should do it as an experiment. Go and stand on one of those doors for 4 hours and 21 minutes. What about your daily practice then? Now, if I'm going to run a marathon, I look this up. If you're going to run a marathon, which is 26.2 miles, the recommended training time for someone who's planning on going to run this marathon is 30 to 50 miles a week. You should run 30 to 50 miles a week. So, you know, 5 miles a day, something like that. A couple days off. That'd take about an hour a day. Uh-oh, an hour a day. An hour a day, praying in other tongues, worshiping the Holy Ghost. Transforms you. Are you here? Are you getting any of this? What about, what if I do it and I don't worship the Holy Ghost? You can't go there. You understand? I don't have time to go over all this, but it won't take you to the same place. Praying in tongues and worshiping the Holy Ghost for an hour a day trains you to run the marathon.